The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Merry Christmas!
Well, good afternoon, and I hope you're planning for a Merry Christmas. I know my family and we are, and I know the folks here around the office are looking forward to that. And, of course, I know the person I'm privileged to be with today is a Christmas hound, if you will. You know, I mean, he just loves Christmas. Now, he loves the Christ of Christmas, let's be clear, but he also thoroughly enjoys the Christmas season. Dr. Alex McFarland.
Hi, Jim. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great.
Okay, let's open with a question. What did the third wise man say?
I don't know.
But wait, there's myrrh.
we need to, you and I, we're going to have to get a sound effect of a rim shot.
Exactly. I can hear groans all across America. Well, welcome to Exploring the Word, everybody. Alex and Jim Stanley. Bert is traveling. It's great to have you on. And yes, I do love Christmas. Jim, you know what the month of August is at our house?
Brother, I'm scared to ask.
That's when you start getting out the Christmas decorations.
Okay. No, that's right.
I'm kidding. But no, it's great to be with you. And we are in Micah, which does have Christmas-related overtones. And Bert and I, we taught through Hosea, and not too far removed from that very same era is the book of Micah. We're in Micah chapter 3. And if you have a copy of God's Word and want to follow along with us, you may. But as we get into Micah 3, and of course later on in the show, we will take calls and Bible questions. But how have you been, my dear brother? How are things in Jim Stanley's world?
Well, things are going well. You know, Colette had her second knee surgery, replacement surgery, and she is responding well to that. So now I have a wife with two bionic knees. She is not the $6 million woman. She is worth that to me.
Priceless.
And more, exactly. But fortunately, her knees weren't $6 million.
Wow. Well, I hope y'all are doing well and ready for a great Christmas.
How's Angie?
She is doing well. She's doing well. And we thank God that she's in good health. Couple of years ago, had some little heart-related issues, but she's doing great. And, I was thinking about Christmas coming up, and it is just such a good time to encourage people because, Jim, I was reading a statistic earlier today about how many people during the Christmas time have anxiety and loneliness. Mm-hmm. You know what they were saying, Jim? That loneliness is an issue among young people even. And with the emergence of AI, there are these, apps and bots and things like that where people have AI friends. And I thought, heaven forbid that people would have to turn to a computer for a friend when we've got each other. And in John 13, the Lord said that by this will all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So this Christmas, look for ways to be a blessing. And you know, folks, that smile or that little word of encouragement might be just what somebody needs to hear who's struggling with feeling like nobody knows or nobody cares. And so this is a great time where God, in the greatest way, showed his love by sending Jesus. We can show our love and encouragement to those around us as well.
We sure can. Alex, before we jump into the scripture, you talking about Christmas, us talking about Christmas, reminded me of an email I got just a couple of minutes ago.
Okay.
And it's from our friends Keith and Kristen Getty.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And so the Voice of the Martyrs and Museum of the Bible are sponsoring an Irish Christmas this year. And what they're doing is they're going to let you live stream it at no cost. And so, folks, if you're interested in information on that, you can visit GettyMusic.com. That's GettyMusic.com. But they're going to, just for signing up to see and participate, they're going to send you over 200 pages of sheet music. It's the 2024 Christmas songbook, as well as the Voice of the Martyrs prayer calendar. And that's a powerful guide to pray for persecuted Christians around the world. So all those folks are friends of ours. We love them all.
Yes.
And so I think it will be a genuinely good time. I had the opportunity to see it in person a couple of years ago, and I have to tell you, it's different than any Christmas special you'll see. And
yeah.
So I encourage folks to do that. Again, it's gettymusic.com, and I believe that Brent will get that up on our Facebook page a little bit later.
It's up now.
It's up now.
I followed them on their Facebook page, and I just shared it to our page, and so they can go straight from their page to the site.
All right. Well, there you go. See?
And what is the date of that stream?
It's Saturday.
Oh, wow.
At 7:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, and they are great. You know, I had the privilege in the fall of, I think it was 07, we had them in one of our conferences. And back then, you know, they weren't as well known as they are now, but they are tremendous. The Gettys are a blessing to the body of Christ, aren't they?
Absolutely. And if you're not sure who the Gettys are, you may remember one of their most popular songs, In Christ Alone.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, that's not just an Easter song. It's an any time of the year song.
Amen.
But lest I distract us too much, Alex, appreciate you letting me do that, because I think that would be a blessing to many people if they took the opportunity to hear it. But we are in Micah 3 today. Did you want to go back and maybe do a quick recast of what you guys have studied thus far?
Well, really, in Micah chapter 2, for one thing, and folks, this is during the divided kingdom stage, and after the death of Solomon, there was really kind of a civil war, and they split into the northern and southern kingdoms, which was not God's plan for the nation of Israel. But Jim, the divided kingdom and the fighting amongst themselves was really part of, I think, Satan's plan to try to derail God's prophecy and promise of salvation. You know, God had told Abraham that he would raise up a great nation through the line of Abraham, the nation of Israel. All the families of the earth would be blessed. That's the coming of the Messiah. And Satan, throughout the Old Testament, tried to derail this. And we're going to see some things in Micah 3. But let me just say, chapter 2, there was warnings and judgment on workers of iniquity, but a promise in the last two verses, Micah 2:12-13, about God says, I'm going to reassemble you like a herd of lambs, and I'll be the shepherd, and like sheep, I'm going to lead you. And there's a great noise in Micah 2:12, a noise of praise, not a noise of mourning. But let me read a little bit from Micah 3, because it sounds like not only another scripture that I'm thinking of, but it sounds like the times in which we live. And I said, here I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? As like, hey, you're going to experience judgment, no way around it. Now, verse 2, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from them and the flesh from off their bodies, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them and break their bones and chop them into pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Now, this is pretty graphic. And what earlier in Micah, there was judgment on false prophets and priests that prattle on. And it's almost like sin and false teaching is as destructive as somebody, imagine with a meat cleaver chopping up beef to go in a stew. Verse 3 says it's like, you know, flay the skin and chop people into pieces. Now that might sound like very graphic, but that's how destructive sin is. But Jim, regarding verse 2, in Isaiah 5:14-20, it talks about woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And Micah 3:2, judgment on those who hate the good and love the evil. At least to a degree, I think we're living in a time when people call evil good and very often good evil, and people embrace darkness and reject the light God's given them. It's centuries removed from the book of Micah, but human nature just doesn't change, does it?
It doesn't. And, you know, as you said, that when we look at our country today, the people may not be doing it literally, but there are certainly people that can peel the flesh off of someone with their words, you know, yeah. and with the attitudes and the hate that goes on around us. And as even seen, you know, just the other day with the CEO getting shot, you know, we're moving to a whole new tumultuous time in America where there are people that are applauding him for having done that. And then, of course, there are people condemning him for having done that. But it's just a crazy time in which we live.
Well, it really is. And, you know, Jim, I listen to people, and I was reading about this. This is very sad. We do a lot of work with young people. And of teenagers up through early 20s, so we're talking high school age and 20-somethings that get arrested, 85% of the young adults that have an altercation with the law, 85% can't read. And so people are saying, well, why can't our high schoolers read? And why do so many drop out? And why do they not get a job and launch? And why is there substance abuse and violence and just people acting out? Well, obviously, people need Jesus. But I want to say this. We need to rediscover morality.
Mm.
And where do children learn right from wrong? In the home.
Right.
And I don't know why more people don't, and especially persons of influence like celebrities and elected officials and educators, we need, it's simple, I think. We need a restoration of family. We need young people brought up in church, and we need young people taught right from wrong. Our nation needs revival. We need Jesus. But, you know, it's not all that complicated, really. We need morals, and we need family, and we need God. Maybe I'm just being simplistic, but I think that's what we need.
Well, I think we have to return to the foundation of our very biblical Christianity. You know, there was a time that we didn't mind letting folks know what was acceptable and what wasn't. But nowadays we live in the day of, you know, Alex, I guess I can remember mid-70s, the live and let live philosophy.
I remember that.
That began to populate in America. And now it's I think we've gone from live and let live to just apathy.
Yeah.
Why do you care what I do? What business is it of yours?
Yeah.
You know, why should I care about what they do? What business is it of mine? Well, sometimes the business of mine, even though I may not know them, is that I see them headed towards a ditch, and I don't want them to fall in. And so, you know, for me, I agree with you in that, and that we have to return to our foundation of morality, and that's found through the foundation of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we'll talk about that more. My friend, Dr. Alex McFarland, is on with us today. I'm Jim Stanley, and for Brother Bert Harper. And we'll continue with Exploring the Word on AFR straight ahead.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the vice president nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chances at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax-deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or 5 ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is their song. With joyful ring, all caroling, one seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Dead in the rain, while people sing songs of good cheer, Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas from Exploring the Word and the American Family Association. I kind of let that rejoin music go a little longer than usual because it's just so beautiful. And Alex McFarland here along with Jim Stanley. We're in Micah chapter 3. There's judgment. Let me read a little bit here. And then verse 4 really indicates there's a time, a line that you don't want to go beyond. Listen to this. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Jim, that's just frightening to reach a point where people no longer can even comprehend right from wrong. And even if they do cry to the Lord, it's too late. Now, I know God is a God of grace, but even in the New Testament, the book of Romans talks about reprobation or a mind that gets to the point where they can't even feel conviction anymore. That's why we say that the minute you feel conviction and you feel led to turn to the Lord, turn to the Lord. Don't harden your heart, because like Micah 3 verse 4, they get to the point where it's too late. That's frightening thing to ponder, isn't it?
Well, it is, because we can see, what the what that is going to lead to. It's one of those things that it goes back to what I mentioned a little earlier. You know, we are ruled by apathy, and we have to start caring about our fellow person again, man, woman, child. Even teenagers. I say that tongue in cheek, because it seems like this generation, a lot of it's getting better. I mean, really, a lot of it's getting better, but so much of it is still out there that needs to change, that needs to come back. And I think we've got a generation coming up that is trying to seek some truth, but unfortunately, they're not trying to seek the truth. And we need them to seek the way, the truth, and then the life.
You remember the great preacher, he's gone to heaven for, I don't know, a decade, I guess, but Adrian Rogers, do you remember that name? He said this, and I think it's just profound. He said, selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. And, you know, let me say, you're right. There are people that, I think there's people that they want enough of Jesus to get them to heaven, but not so much that it interferes with their life.
That's right, and that's not funny, you know? But I mean it's an ironic chuckle more so than just a give up chuckle.
Well, let me read verse 5, because look, in the Old Testament, God raised up priests and prophets. They spoke of the Messiah that would come. We are in the church age. Peter preached at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit birthed the church. If you read Ephesians 4:11-12, God gives pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But here's the thing. In the time of Israel, and sometimes it's called Ephraim, but the preachers are leading people astray. Listen to this, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. They bite with their teeth and cry peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. All right, let me. I got the old KJV. People, they'll say, "Do you use the KJV?" Yes, the King Jesus Version.
Oh my word! That's harsh.
But all right, the prophets that make my people err. All right, a prophet of God is supposed to call people back to the path, the straight and narrow. Isn't that something? And that bite with their teeth and cry, peace. All right, now they're saying peace, peace, but it's on gnashing of teeth is always a bad thing in Scripture. Gnashing of teeth speaks of judgment. And so you got these prophets that are proclaiming things that are false. But the other thing, it says they prepare war against him who does not put into their mouth. In other words, if the preacher's not telling me what I want to hear, I'm going to make war on that preacher.
Yeah, the NLT, New Living Translation, you know, for those that know Jesus, sorry.
This is a little inside, a little spotting match here.
King James is, I have it open today because I knew you'd be reading from it, but it's also the version that I still preach from the most. And so whenever I have the opportunity to do a sermon in someone's church, I respect the church enough to use the King James Version. It's, if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me.
That's right.
Anyway, back to Micah 3, from the NLT, it says, "You false prophets are leading my people astray." He just puts it out there. Yeah. And it says, "You promise peace for those who give you food, but you declare war on those who refuse to feed you."
Yeah.
And that's where we are. If people aren't hearing what we want to tell them, then automatically we're racist, we're bigots, we are haters because we don't accept them for who they are. Well, folks don't accept us for who we are. And so it's one of those things that that earlier when I was talking about people maybe not peeling their flesh, you know, with the knife, but they do it with their words. That's what I'm, this right here bears that out. And then it says, in the King James, it says they bite with their teeth. So it really is one of those things that if we don't do what someone wants us to do, then all of a sudden we are cast out. You know, yeah. we are not erased, but I can't think of the culture thing going on now where
you're canceled.
Thank you. Yeah. The cancel culture.
So. Well, you know what? Let me just say this, folks. If you've got a preacher that preaches the word and he calls sinners to salvation, thank God for that.
Amen.
Because, you know, in Galatians 4, Paul was preaching against legalism in the church and works rather than grace. And I've always pondered on this verse, Jim, Galatians 4:16, where Paul says, "Am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And the answer is no. In fact, sometimes the person who cares about you most will tell you maybe not what you want to hear, but something that you need to hear. And that's just one of the occupational realities of being a preacher. We are duty bound to tell people what God's word says, because there's a penalty for false teaching. Verse 6, and these are of those priests and prophets that were not telling God's truth. Verse 6 of Micah 3, "Therefore night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God." Now, here's what's going on. If you don't have the light of God's truth, you're going to be in darkness. Isn't that something? And I realize the wording here is a little, in the King James, kind of a little tough, that you shall not divine. Divination is bad. This is not talking about like doing magic or divination, but it's talking about having the revelation of God. See, it is a beautiful thing to know the scriptures, Because when you've got the Word of God, you have the mind of Christ. And so, you know, Bert, I heard somebody say one time that a Christian can see farther on his knees than a philosopher on his tiptoes. And, you know, you need the Word of God, and you need preachers that proclaim the Word of God, so you'll have vision, discernment, wisdom. Okay, and there's coming a time, verse 7, the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners confounded, and they're going to cover their lips because there's no answer of God. They know they have not proclaimed God's truth, and they don't even know God's truth. Jim, I think about the days in which we live where a lot of people in positions of leadership, they don't seem to know right from wrong, true from false. And I think when it's clear that people have built their life on something other than the truth of God, it becomes very evident they don't know what they're talking about. That's kind of what verse 7 is saying, that they had prophets who, it became clear, didn't even know what they were talking about.
Right. And it, you know, it says they shall cover their lips. It's one of those things. I'm sorry, I was looking at a parallel scripture verse to go along with that, and let me throw this in, forgive me.
But verse 8, Micah, however, is different. Okay, Micah, in contrast to those false teachers, verse 8, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord,
right,
and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. So Jacob and Israel, we've got the southern and northern kingdom, and here is the plea. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and the princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. In other words, they got the best preachers money can buy, right? Prophets for hire. They divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. All right. The false teachers are saying, hey, you better listen to me because I'm speaking for God and no judgment can touch us. But Micah is saying, I'm going backwards here, but he's saying, look, you're trying to build your house with blood. Mm-hmm. You're trying to build Jerusalem with iniquity. That's not going to work. And I just love, maybe this would be a good verse for a lot in the ministry. And I'm not talking about to be a blowhard with no grace or no love. Obviously, there's truth and grace. There's proclamation of repentance. There's also the balm and the gentle healing that is the Word of God. But Micah says, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment. Jim, if we seem confident in what we say, and I hope we do because we are confident, but I assure you it is not confidence in ourselves. It's not Alex or Bert or Jim Stanley or Brent Austin, but the confidence we have is because we know that this Bible is the Word of the living God.
That's right.
That's where our boldness comes, isn't it?
It has to, because if it doesn't, then we are not any better than these that Mike and I are talking about. We will be just like them, because trust me, my judgment will get you nowhere.
Yep.
But the Bible and the judgment that's found in the Bible, and by judgment, I'm not talking about judging someone. I'm talking about perhaps wisdom would be a better word. I rely on the wisdom of the Word to be able to share that with others.
Verse 12 says, therefore shall Zion, for your sake, be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Jim, I read that the city of Jerusalem has been under siege at least 13 times in history.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? And, you know, if you've ever been to the Holy Land, and I know Tim Wildman is going to be leading a trip over there in March of 2026, more than a year from now, and maybe you might want to go. Bert and I very, very likely will be on that trip. If you've ever been to Israel, the first time you crest over the Mount of Olives and you see the city of Jerusalem, I mean, the city of God, there it is. I mean, everybody gasps. It's beautiful. And yet, that city has been, you know, under war at least 13 times in world history. Jim, verse 12 says, Zion, for your sake, should be plowed as a field. Mm. See, here's the thing. God doesn't just judge and destroy just to be doing something. It is always redemptive. Now, because of our sin, there are repercussions. But the judgment of God is to try to get our attention and bring us to repentance and back to Jesus. That's the truth now, and that was the truth then.
Yeah.
God acts, but he acts redemptively.
You know, this isn't the only place that is talked about. Jeremiah 9:11 says, I will make Jerusalem a heap of rubble, a jackal's den. I will make the cities of Judah a desolation, an uninhabited place. Now, think about that. We're talking about where the presence of the Lord has resided, where Jesus will come and be hung on a cross. But because of the wrong teaching, then the prophecy is that Zion will be plowed. You know, that it will become, the cities will become uninhabited. And, you know, we have to pray. You know, we're reminded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I think we need to pray for the redemption, not only of Jerusalem, but also that of the world, and especially ourselves and our families.
Jim, there's a verse in Habakkuk I've always loved, and it talks about one day after Christ returns. I love this, quote, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Mm.
That's what we want. We want everybody to know Jesus. Hey, I got saved because some people told me. Everybody listening that's a Christian is the beneficiary of the obedience of somebody else.
Amen. That's the truth. And we'll continue straight ahead. But first, if you'd like to call, we've taken your calls the last part. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Alex and I will take your questions as Exploring the Word continues on AFR.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, over the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making
spirits
bright.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. And you want to talk about a false song for me? There's not a one-horse open sleigh that would carry me. And I'm not dashing anywhere in the snow, which has nothing to do with our program, but just the music there. So we were talking about falsehood, so I wanted to point us back to the straight and narrow of how we should not dash in snow. Anyway, Exploring the Word, Jim Stanley here, Dr. Alex McFarland. By the way, if you'd like to bring Dr. Alex McFarland to your community, you can find out more at alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com. You can also find some resources there, as well as where he's going to be. So maybe he's going to be near you and you could have the opportunity to go hear him. So that's my good friend, Dr. Alex McFarland.
God bless you, Jim. And, you know, by the grace of God, thanks to many Exploring the Word listeners, we have got some amazing things next year. I want to get to the calls and questions, and if you have a Bible question, do call in. The number is 888-589-8840. But we're going to be in Wichita, Kansas. We're going to be in Barry, Alabama, Carthage, Mississippi. We're going to be in Indiana and Illinois. All of these are like area-wide evangelistic events put together by Exploring the Word listeners. Mm. So I'm very honored. You know the old saying, I will preach at the drop of a hat, I'll drop the hat.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go talk to Richard in Tennessee. Richard, good afternoon. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon. I had a question about the fallen angels. I've always thought of the fallen angels as those behind, or those that were the demons in the scripture, or behind demonic activity today. But my question came from my reading the last few days in 2 Peter 2:4 and in Jude 6. It seems to say that the fallen angels there, they say, are already bound, or in Tartarus, I think it says in Jude 6. And if they're already bound, I was wondering how that relates to the demon activity.
Great question. Let me, you know, what's interesting is that the word Tartarus, which is a reference to this part of a dark abyss where some of the angels are held. And by the way, that only appears once in the Bible, you know. Now, there are a number of words for the grave and hell. Like Sheol is the realm of the dead, and Hades is a word that is a reference to the realm of the unsaved. But the chains, the demons that are in the chains of darkness that are in Tartarus, Jim, that is only used one time in the Bible. Now, here's the thing. I think one of the judgments of the tribulation period is that some of the demons that are currently held in chains of darkness are going to be unleashed, you know? I mean, the world is bad enough as it is now, Jim, but do you know the chains of darkness, that's in 2 Peter 2:4. Only time that word appears in the Bible, the word Tartarus, as opposed to tartar sauce, not the same word. But, Jim, part of the judgment of the tribulation period is that apparently the lid on gloomy darkness of 2 Peter 2:4 is going to be opened up a little bit, and some of those demons are going to get out.
Oh, I agree. I think that that's one of the things that we see happening. And we know that there were fallen angels. We get that. We understand that. But nowhere do we find a number. So when we think of the demons that are on earth today, I really don't think we have a clue as to how many more will be released.
Yeah. I mean, if we could see the invisible warfare all around us, you know.
Man, Frank Peretti had a great set of books on that.
Piercing the Darkness,
yes,
and
sir.
This Present Darkness.
And, you know, those. But you're right. You know, if we had to see what we don't see, that might change who we are, and that might not necessarily be a bad thing. Well, let's talk to Hoyt now in Georgia. Hoyt, good afternoon. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yeah, this is Hoyt from Valdosta. Yesterday, Samaritan's Purse came to my house and removed some limbs, and then later two ladies came back to visit Wendy, and while they was here, I gave my heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Wow. Praise God. That is just wonderful. That is just. Did you say Samaritan's Purse?
Yes.
Wow. And so you prayed and you accepted Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Man, that's fantastic. We welcome you to the family.
And let me just say this. Don't hang up. I would love to send you, Bert and I wrote a book on 100 Bible questions. And there's some material in there about if you're a new believer. And then there's 100 questions that we got from Exploring the Word listeners over the years. And if we could get your contact info, it would be my privilege to send you one of those books, just totally free, no strings attached. But I want to send you that if that's okay.
Hoyt, will you hang on? Hoyt's gone.
Maybe we can get him back. Well, isn't that wonderful? Praise God.
Yes, sir. No, it really is. That's the kind of news we like to hear. Give us a call, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And we're going to talk to Chris from Tennessee. Chris, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well.
I just want to, the lady approached me today. She said, you in the Christian spirit? And I go, well, let me, I say, I'm in the spirit of the light. I would say that. And she kind of looked at me. I said, well, I know Christmas coming up and all. And I said, but let me ask you this. Do you celebrate Hanukkah? And they kind of looked at me a little funny. I said, well, that's in John 10:22, where Jesus goes. And I said, at that, why he was there was his rededication of the temple because Maccabees had took him back over. I said, now, with that being said, Paul writes in Romans 15:27, he says, now we're grafted in, but we're also partakers of the spiritual. We also owe it to them, being them, for being partakers in the fleshly things also. So I don't know how y'all feel about celebrating Hanukkah, but I'd just like to get y'all's view on it also. Thank you.
Well, praise God.
Alex, let me say real quick, and then if I want to hear from you, but celebrating Christmas isn't going to get you saved. Celebrating Hanukkah isn't going to get you saved. But neither is celebrating Christmas going to send you to hell, nor would celebrating Hanukkah or observing Hanukkah send you to hell, because both of those focus on the Messiah. Unfortunately for a lot of our Jewish friends who don't know Christ, they celebrate the coming Messiah, where we're looking for the returning Messiah. Alex, please correct anything I said there.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And let me say, we definitely love the Jewish people, and we passionately stand for Israel. But at the same time, we know that salvation is only through a relationship with Yeshua, the Messiah, that's Jesus Christ. Now, in John 4:22, Jesus said this, salvation is of the Jews, meaning that it was through the line of Abraham and the Jewish people that the Messiah came. But just being ethnically Jewish doesn't automatically save you. And I want to say this too, and Jim, I love history and I love the Judaica and the Hebraic elements of our faith. Now, Hanukkah is another name for the Feast of Dedication, which is an 8-day Jewish festival that it really commemorates two things, the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem, but also, here's the thing, that the Maccabees had victory over the Greeks in a battle. And really, the 8-day festival of Hanukkah is laid out a lot in what are called 1st and 2nd Maccabees, which are interesting historically, but they are not part of the Hebrew Bible. They're not really scripture. Now, in John 10:22, as the caller mentioned, that's the only place in the Bible where the Feast of Dedication is mentioned, or Hanukkah. And it says, it was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter, John 10:22. Now, it's wonderful to know about these things. Jim, I will say this. Some of my dear Christian friends that get real, real enthused about the Jewishness of the New Testament, we don't want to add to the gospel.
Right, absolutely.
And, Paul had to have a public, altercation with Peter over it even, because Jesus paid it all, and we are saved by putting our faith in Jesus. And to that simple trust or faith, we don't add works or the Mosaic Law. And even Paul, who was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, had to warn Peter, don't add the Jewish law on top of the grace of Jesus.
Right, right. And so we appreciate the question and appreciate you bringing those scriptures out. But now, I guess back to the simplest answer is you asked us what we thought about that, and we're saying that it would be okay to observe Hanukkah, knowing what you know us, you know, from Christ.
Sure.
You know, John Riley on staff here, he and his family, they celebrate the Passover every year.
Mm-hmm.
And but John is a Jewish man who's come to Christ and has been living for Christ for years. But you'll not find a better advocate for Israel. But he does separate the difference between the Jewish state and not knowing Christ to try and bring them to Christ. That's part of his testimony. And so that's why, you know, from them, I've kind of tried to pick up on some of it, but unfortunately don't know enough to know what, you know, exactly what to take and what not to take, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Well, let's talk to John calling from Texas. John, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, how are y'all today?
Good.
Just, I appreciate what y'all do, and I just wanted to visit because there was a gentleman called a few minutes ago, and he was asking about the fallen angels and demons, and I just wanted to share my understanding. And when you read Genesis 6 and you look at Deuteronomy 32, it kind of clarifies some things as far as, like, especially in Deuteronomy 32, it talks about new spirits that they came across. And these were the Raphaim, they were the leftover spirits. To me, from the sons of God that died in the flood. And I don't know if y'all have read Dr. Michael Heiser. He's gone to his eternal reward, but he really digs into this understanding, and it's a beautiful, rich way to look at it. And I just wanted to share that and get any comments you guys had.
Hmm. All right. Thank you, John. Mercy, you're not Isaac, you're Alex.
Well, you know, let me say this. Deuteronomy 32 has a really strong warning against demons and idols, really. Let me read a scripture here. Well, in Leviticus 17, which is kind of a related scripture, talks about when they would make sacrifices to idols. And when you think of an idol, you might think of the golden calf or just some statue. And it basically says that it says they are offering sacrifices to demons, which are no gods, not God. Jim, I'm not going to name it because I don't want people to be morbidly interested. There's a couple of parts of this nation where I literally saw people in broad open daylight sacrificing like chicken blood onto an idolatrous little altar. And when you get into other parts of the world, like Haiti, where voodoo is so prominent, and parts of Africa where we've been, there's just this satanic heaviness over the place because people have opened the door to demonism. And let me say, and feel free to disagree, I don't like the horoscope. I don't like anything that smacks of fortune-telling or divination. Because here's the thing. The Bible says in 1 Peter, Satan stalks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me say, go through your heart, folks. Don't be superstitious. We trust in the true and living God. You don't want to give Satan a foothold.
Amen.
And if there's a door of your life that's left unlocked, Satan or one of his minions will try to get in. That's why God was so insistent to Israel to have nothing to do with idolatry.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that, like you said, and, you know, you may not think of it as leaving the door unlocked, but sometimes you leave a window ajar. You know, and we've been told in Scripture that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and they'll do that that way. And so they find those loopholes, if you will. Alex, thanks so much for letting me hang out with you.
Oh, you're a blessing. Hey, tomorrow, folks, it's going to be Fire Away Friday. All questions, all the hour. Get your questions. Be thinking about calling in. And Jim, thank you. And let's you and I do that tomorrow.
Sounds like a plan. Folks, we appreciate your listening to Exploring the Word. Again, don't forget about the Irish Christmas coming up this Saturday evening. You can find out information on our Facebook page. Thanks again for listening to Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.